Thank you, God. I will remind you this morning, if you have not taken the opportunity to give, that you be obedient to the Lord in your giving. Thank you, God. So good to see all of you here this morning. Hallelujah. And those watching online, so good to be in the house of God this morning. So many other places we could be, so many other things that we could be doing, but we're coming together as brothers and sisters in Christ and in the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do that, the freedom that we have in this country right now to be able to do that. Thank you, Jesus. I'll pray before I begin. Lord, we just come to you this morning with humble hearts, thanking you, Father, for just blessing us with another day of life, for choosing to breathe your breath through our lungs, for allowing our hearts to beat. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for bringing us all together and just for preparing our hearts and our minds, even now, God, for the word that will go forth. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to have a seat, to sit down in my flesh, God, so that you can rise up through the power of your Holy Spirit and speak your word through me this morning. In love, God. Thank you, Lord God, for not allowing it to fall on deaf ears, God, but on ears, God, that will hear your truth and hear your word in my voice and hear it in love, God, in such a way that will cause them, Lord God, to change if they need to change, to grow if they need to grow, to draw closer to you if need be, Lord. Let your will be done today. And we also ask, God, that every person who gives, Lord, be blessed for their obedience to you. And that all the money that comes in, Lord God, all the increase that comes, be stretched, Lord God, to meet all of the needs of Christ Unveiled. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I've been dealing with some personal things. And you know, when you go through things and you have a relationship with the Lord, You start to seek him and you start to you know, you're in prayer about whatever it is that you're dealing with. It could be financial. It could be personal with your family, with your friends. It could be something going on with your children, something going on at your job. But there are certain things that we experience that maybe you haven't went through before. And it just causes you to question some things about your life. And that's kind of where I am. Just been questioning, not necessarily questioning God, but just questioning my direction in life on some things. And of course, I go to God's word and I start to read it and study some things because I'm wondering, where is my faith? And where did that lead me? It led me to ask myself if I really do trust the Lord. One of the probably most memorized and known scriptures in the Bible is John 3:16. Everybody in here has probably heard it, and you can probably say it by heart. For God so loved the world. You can say it with me if you know it, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. Everybody knows it. And I just wanted to Google because I thought, you know, is this, how popular is this scripture? And I think, if I'm not mistaken, it is the most quoted scripture from God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave. Whosoever, that means everybody. That means you, me, every soul that's born believes in him. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that's the only scripture you knew, you could share that and tell somebody about the gospel, their hope that we have in Jesus. And that's where my study started. I wanted to really understand what it means to have faith, what it really means to believe. And the conclusion that I came to is that is only the start, the belief, the faith. It doesn't end there. God wants to take us beyond our belief today. And that is the title of the message, Beyond Belief. So where it may start, where your faith may start in you believing that God died for your sin, that Jesus died for your sins, that God sent his son, that Jesus died for our sin, that our corruption started in the garden, that there is a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that act as one, that Jesus lived as God in the form of man on this earth. All of these are part of our faith and part of our belief. And I don't doubt that everybody that hears my voice believes. You have faith. But what God revealed to me is that too many of us, maybe not in every area of your life, but in too many areas of our life, that's where it stops. Right there. Belief and faith. But the Lord wants to take us beyond that this morning. When I did a study on truth and trust and faith in God's word, believe, all three of those words, they have a different root in the Hebrew, but in Greek, trust, believe, and faith have the same root word. And that tells you that they all are kind of tied together. Your faith, your trust, and your belief, it's all kind of tied together. Trust can mean to rely on, to put confidence in, to accept something as true. Well, we know that it doesn't stop at belief. Because in James chapter 2, verse 19, it said that even the devils, the demons, believe. Satan believes. So obviously, there's something more than just having faith and believing that God wants to take us to, that he wants us to walk in. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, if you can see it and have evidence in it, you don't need faith because you can see it. Our faith tells us that we're going to live in eternity. Our faith tells us that God is God, that he exists, that Jesus exists, that the Holy Spirit lives in us. See, we believe all of that. We have faith in that. We've never seen it. We've never touched it. We feel the presence of God. We know and we're aware when here in his presence. Some of us do. If you haven't, you're missing out. It's not going to be forced on you. It's something you have to enter into. You have to surrender to, but there's nothing like his presence. Faith is the substance of things that we hope for. I hope for my eternity and glory. I hope to be, my tears to be dried. I hope to be sick no more. I hope to just be free. I am free. But I hope to just live in eternity with the Lord. There are so many things that we hope for when we have that faith and we properly place it in his sacrifice that he made for us. And then a little bit further down in that chapter, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It didn't say without faith, it's kind of hard to please him. He said it's impossible. Because again, it starts with our faith. And your faith may be small and it may be large, but in order for you to truly accept the gift that is salvation, you have to have that faith from the beginning. And the hope is that as you walk with the Lord and as you journey throughout your life, that faith grows into trust. So what I've learned throughout my life and what I learned in my personal study, because I don't question my faith, but sometimes, if I'm honest with myself, if you're honest, you don't always trust God and his promises the way that you should. But I'm going to show you where God showed me that if I don't trust him, I'm going to falter in my obedience to him. And if I don't walk in obedience to him, then I can never fully surrender to him. It's all connected, but it starts with our faith. So I just want to use some scriptures, some people that God gave us in his word that gave us examples of what it means to truly trust God. So you can compare these people to your life and your decisions and the things that you've done. So you can ask yourself, do I really trust the Lord this morning? You may trust him to sit in that chair. You trust the chair to hold you up or you wouldn't be sitting in it, right? You believe, you have faith that that chair is strong enough to hold you, so you sit. And a lot of us walk and our mouth says we have faith and we trust the Lord, but our life is not showing that. The first step in us trusting the Lord is stepping out. Stepping out of your comfort zone, stepping out of what you think, stepping out of what you want, and being willing not just to step out, but to trust God before you actually see the end, before you actually see the outcome, like Abraham did. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." In Hebrews 11 and 8, it speaks about the same thing. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. I wonder how many of us, if you overnight, you know, during your sleep or early in the morning, God told you to sell everything you had and just go, and I'm going to tell you where you're going. I have to be honest, that would be hard for me. That would be difficult. Some things that God asked me to do, I jump and do it right away. And other things, I move slowly to obedience. And some things I haven't done that God asked me to do. And we're all somewhere along those lines. But this example that Abraham gave us, he called him out of everything that he knew, his family, his traditions, everything he knew, and told him, I have a place for you. I have somewhere that I want you to go. And God wants us to have that kind of faith to where he can say, my daughter, my son, do this. And I'll tell you everything else along the way, but I'm asking you to step out. I'm asking you to step out in faith. I'm hoping that I continue to improve. And I do know personally that I'm more obedient than I was in the past. I've surrendered more than I have in the past. But see, none of us have arrived. And as long as we're on this earth, God has things that he wants us to do. So we need to ask ourselves, are you willing to step out and be obedient, to trust him enough to be obedient to what he's called you to do? Because just like the situation with Abraham, it may not be comfortable for you. But if God is asking you to do it, if he's asking me to do it, and I want to remain in his will, I have to trust him. And I have to be obedient to what he's calling me to do. If you look over Abraham's life, he wasn't perfect. He tried to help God along the way. But because of his faith, righteousness was imputed unto him. Because he trusted the Lord, God blessed him beyond measure. Not just him, but his seed after him. God promised him an inheritance through his son, Isaac. And he is set as our example of what faith, what having faith and trusting God should look like, all because he stepped out. I thought about my life, and you can use yourself as an example. And all the mistakes I've made, I can't count them. But if I would have been more like Abraham, even if I start more like Abraham, if I haven't been like him, and I walk in obedience to God, not because I can see the end, but because I have faith in him and I trust him enough. If Abraham hadn't started out with this level of trust, there is no way he could have trusted God enough to attempt to sacrifice his own son. So it took time, and God may give you a small thing like turn off the television and go spend time with me in prayer. It may start like that. And the more you override what he's asking you to do, the harder it's going to be to trust him. We don't trust God because we're not stepping out and even doing the small things. So when he comes to you with something bigger, you can't be like Abraham and be willing to gather up the wood and without an animal sacrifice and take your son and lay his life down before the Lord. Because you're not trusting him with the small things. So that first step is stepping out and asking yourself, will I trust the Lord before I know the end? Will I trust him before I know the outcome? Abraham's example tells us and shows us that if we do, it'll become easier to do it every time. But we got to start with the small things. I have struggled with God's direction in my life. I've questioned his timing on things. You know, still waiting on some prayers to be answered that I've prayed. But we have to trust him. We have to trust his will. He knows all things. He knows and sees and hears what we don't. So the safest place for us to be is always going to be in his will. And we can only remain in his will when we have that faith be evidenced and trust walking out obedience to him. In chapter 141, verse 8, it says, "But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord, in thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute." This is David talking. He was facing enemies. And he decided that he was going to put his eyes on the Lord because that's where his trust was. Another step outside of stepping out, another way that we build our trust in the Lord is by keeping our focus on him. I think about Peter. In Matthew chapter 14, I'm going to start at 29 and read 29 and 30. It said, "And he said, come. And then Peter was down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me." When Peter stepped out, he saw Jesus, right? He steps out of the boat on faith. So he did the right that first step. He stepped out on faith. And as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, the source, he was fine. The storm was already had been there. It didn't just start. But he stepped out in the middle of that storm, and as long as he had his eyes on the Savior, he was fine. But the moment he got focused on the wind and the water and the waves, he began to sink. So when we do step out, we have to keep our focus on the Lord, because the enemy is going to throw things, fiery darts. Circumstances, life happens, right? But we can't allow that to shake us. We can't allow that to move us. If our focus is on the Lord, we won't be bothered by all the other things around us, all the distractions. But when we do start to focus on those things, that's when fear sets in, when doubt sets in, when confusion sets in. So it's important for us not just to step out, but also in our stepping out in obedience to the Lord, because we trust him, to keep our eyes on him and not the circumstances around us. Not even to keep our eyes on ourselves. Because when I think about my inadequacies and my shortcomings, I start asking, God, can you really do this? I mean, you're working with me. Or it could be the opposite. You could think more highly of yourself than you should, because you've accomplished some things and you've done some things with the Lord's strength. And so it starts to build pride or self-righteousness in you. So we can't even look at ourselves. So instead of looking at ourselves or our circumstance, our focus should be on God, our source. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Have you ever been in the middle of a situation, something, you know, just kind of rocking your life for a minute? Maybe it's a death in the family, something crazy is going on with your finances, something's going on in your family that's just disrupting everything, and you feel that unrest, that your peace is broken up. Have you stopped to pray? Have you stopped to give that to the Lord, to take it to him? Did you pray about it and then pick it back up? We do that. I do that. See, the peace is not there because the problem went away. The peace is there because you properly placed your focus on Jesus, on the source, on the person that can fix or heal or bring a remedy to your situation. He said, his word says, he will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on the problem, on the situation. No, on him. So your situation could still be a hot mess. It could still be a problem. But where you're focusing your attention is going to determine your peace. So not only does beyond belief mean stepping out on faith, but it also means looking up to the source. The psalm says, "I will lift my eyes to the hills whence comes my help." My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We put God in a box. We limit him when his word clearly tells us that, yes, most things are impossible for man, but with him, all things are possible. And we know that because of our faith. We believe it. But how often do you step out on faith and trust him enough to actually allow it to make a change and a difference in your walk, in your talk, in your actions? Again, beyond belief. Trusting becomes easier when we step out before we know the outcome. And it also becomes easier when we focus our attention on the Lord. How do we look at God? Coming together like this, learning more about his word, spending time in prayer, spending time with him. And prayer is conversation. You know, think about your trust in your spouse or your children or a friend or a family member. You don't trust the person that you don't spend time with. You don't trust the person that you don't talk to regularly. I mean, I don't. I wouldn't trust the person with my money, with my children, you know, with certain things if I don't really know them. And it's the same way with our relationship with the Lord. Which brings me to my third point. Trust happens not just stepping out and looking up to our source, but also growing deeper in relationship with the Lord. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3, it says, David said, "The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge. My Savior, thou saveth me from violence." In Psalm 40 and 4, David said, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." And he says again in Psalm 56 and 4, "In God I will praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" That's verse 11. David had a relationship with the Lord. He didn't just wake up one morning and say, "God is my trust, and in him I'll trust. He's my shield. He's my horn of salvation, my tower, my refuge." No. David's entire life, he trusted God because he saw God move in his life. He had a relationship with the Lord. In order to trust him, we've got to develop a relationship with him. Think about his life. The lion, the bear gave him strength and courage to have faith and trust that the Lord could help him to beat Goliath. And all the others were afraid because maybe they didn't have those encounters with the Lord. They didn't see the Lord work in their lives the way David saw the Lord work in his life. And then after Goliath, his life was threatened by Saul. And he was sent out into the wilderness, thing after thing after thing. And the people I'm mentioning, Abraham, Peter, David, we know they struggled in areas in their life just like we do. But they still had faith that led to trust, that led to obedience and surrender in their lives. And this is what God is calling us to. Trust is just not built on knowing about God. As people know about God, remember, even demons believe. But it's knowing him, getting to know him through relationship with him. Not just knowing about him, but a personal relationship. Think about your close relationships that you have with your family, with your spouse, with your children. And how would you compare that relationship with your relationship with God? Just think about that. God was faithful to David. He is faithful to us. But because David saw God's faithfulness throughout his life, no matter how he wavered, his heart was still after God. He still trusted the Lord because he saw God's hand move time after time. But had he not moved and trusted the Lord enough to move out in obedience, he would have never seen that. I'm going to close with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path." In the times in my life that I've struggled to submit to him, it's because I wasn't being obedient. In the times I struggle with obedience, it's because I wasn't truly trusting him. And whenever I don't or did not walk trusting the Lord, walking out obedience and submission, my faith wavered. So if you this morning are struggling with submission, submitting something to God, to walking in obedience in a certain area of your life, maybe it's because you don't truly trust him. I know the faith is there, but if it's not followed by trust that leads to obedience, that leads to full submission and surrender to his will for your life, it is time for you to step out, to look up, and to grow deeper in relationship with the Lord this morning, to move out beyond belief, step out in faith, look to our source, which is the Lord. If you'll just bow with me this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We praise you, God, for who you are. I see your heart this morning, God, and I know that you desire a closer relationship with us. I know, God, that you desire for our faith to go beyond belief this morning. So, Lord, just like you worked through Abraham, you worked through Peter, you worked through David to show us in your word examples of what this looks like, God. We want to live out that example in our lives. So help us, Lord God, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit to put our faith, to properly first place our faith in you and your sacrifice and what you did on the cross for us, so that we can step out on faith, God, knowing and trusting your word, trusting your promises with every area of our life, our finances, our family, our relationships, all the things. Help us, Father, to grow in relationship with you, Father, so that we can live naturally in obedience to you, and submission just comes easy because we've been obedient, Lord God. We truly trust you and we want to live out our faith. We ask it in Jesus' name, Lord God, knowing that only you can help us do it. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for that word. We thank you. We thank you for the word of God that was brought forth this morning. Father, we honor the word because the word is what changes men. It is what changes lives, Lord. Father, we just ask that we do not leave here with just a good sermon, Father, but we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit because you are speaking this morning, Father. So help us to leave with an instruction that is just for us. Because, Father, just as the Father said to Jesus, "I believe, but help my unbelief." That means that no matter how much we might trust you, there is more that we can grow in this trust. So Father, help us this morning to hear the words that were spoken, not just the sermon, but the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, telling us that there is more that we can press into God. Once again, Father, we thank you for the word, because that word was spirit and life, and that word is going to change us as we simply say yes and trust you more with all that we are. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give the Lord just a hand clap for that word. Amen. Amen. And truly, I do hope that the Holy Spirit was speaking to you, because that was a very timely message, because it is easy to say that we trust, but what happens when we actually have to move like we trust God? So hopefully God was speaking to you and you left there with a true instruction from God on how you need to trust Him more and grow in that. Amen. Amen. As always, please remember to support the ministry as you are led. And as you guys know, there are several ways to do that. And last but not least, so over the past, I want to say year, we've been having Ignite prayer the first Fridays of each month from 10 p.m. to midnight. That time is now changed. So it's still going to be the first Friday of each month. So this coming Friday, it's going to happen. But the time has been changed from 10 p.m. to now it's 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. So 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., first Friday of every month, we're going to meet here and we are going to pray and trust God as we pray for 2 hours. But once again, you don't have to stay for the whole 2 hours. Come as you're led, leave as you are led, but please do come out, because sometimes we can hear God's word or we can read God's word, but we truly don't grow in that word if we don't pray it into our lives. So we are trying to come here, pray, and we want God to move in this church, right? We want to see God's hands, God's gifts, God's glory fall down on this church. So please do as you are led. Come out first Fridays of every month, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Bring your kids, bring your friends. Just come out, pray. Somebody will be on the mic praying as well. So feel free to, kind of pray out loud and just trust God that as you exercise your spirit, you will grow. Because sometimes we think of Paul as this giant, but Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you guys. So prayer and praying in tongues is something that we all should want to grow in and want to do. And what better place to do it with your family and friends here at church? Amen. Amen. So hopefully I will see you guys this Friday, 7 p.m. Once again, feel free to come and go as you please. And I just trust that God will bless you and strengthen you as you do so. Amen. Amen. Well, please rise with me and I'll close us out with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word this morning. Once again, Father, we thank you for the divine instruction that came from the stage, Lord God. Father, we have been called to trust you, but we can't trust what we don't know, and we cannot trust who we don't spend time with. So, Father, help us this morning not to just hear a good sermon, but to hear what you are saying to us, Father, to us. Help us to trust you. Help us to know that you want us to trust you, and help us to know that as we trust you, that you have better things than we could ever imagine. Once again, Lord God, we just thank you for the word. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen.